The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
It's our post-draft edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good evening. Alongside Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you aboard. I know you guys have a lot of questions. You can ask them at 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Hopefully, we've got the answers you're looking for. And let's kind of work our way backwards. Tom, I'll start with you. The Bears cut two very popular players inside their locker room. One, the offensive guard, Matt Slauson. Two, the veteran safety, Antrell Roll. And a lot of people are wondering, let's start with the offense first. Why cut a guy like Slauson, who appeared, at least to those not inside Hallis Hall, to have a good season last year?
Prove your football team. You're trying to make your future better where you can go in and compete and win a division and then go in there and compete for the Super Bowl. And it is no slight against Matt Slauson or Antrell Roll, because the reason these guys were popular in the rock room is they're so well respected in the locker room. And with that being said, you have to understand that it's the Bears' obligations to improve this football team, whether it's by getting younger with talent they believe is going to develop into an asset in the future, or if they bring in a guy like Manny Ramirez, who is the offensive line coach, is familiar with, you're able to get an understanding where is his strengths and weaknesses and where is he going to be able to contribute. So it is about the obligation of John Fox, Ryan Pace, and the entire Chicago Bears front office to make sure they put a better product on the field the next year following the season they just had, unless you win the Super Bowl.
Jim, what do you think? First, let's start with Slauson, then we'll go to Roll. Now, we know in the offseason the Bears invested heavily at picking up a bunch of people who could potentially fill Slauson's spot, whether it's the second-round pick, Cody Whitehair, or the veterans that they brought in, both Manny Ramirez and Ted Larson.
Yeah, I just think, you know, like anything else, you're looking to upgrade the position and certainly getting younger with drafting Cody Whitehair, who is a tough guy now. I mean, who the Bears drafted, that Kansas State offensive lineman, is a tough guy at the end of the day. And, you know, as Tom mentioned, when you go out and you sign Larson and you sign Ramirez, I think those guys provide the position flexibility. But clearly, when you draft Hronis Grassou, now you draft Whitehair, I think the Bears are being very clear. They want to get younger as a football team. As it relates to Antrell Roll, obviously last year with the injury, held him back. I think he offers great leadership, but he's not getting any faster and he's not getting any younger. And the Bears addressed that position at three different times during this year's draft. Hall is probably going to be tried out at the Northern Iowa pick, probably at the cornerback spot. But clearly, when you look at Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson, who they drafted from William & Mary, we all know Vic Fangio is heavy in terms of the secondary impact. We always have talked about last year all the Pro Bowlers that have played at the secondary or at the safety position. Adrian Amos got cracked last year. Now Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson can see if they can fulfill that other safety spot. And then I think DeAndre Hall is really going to be the wild card. He's played a little bit of everything at Northern Iowa, but I think he starts out at corner as the Bears need to fulfill that third corner that they've desperately been wanting to fill over the past few seasons.
They still have Harold Jones-Quarte on the roster as well. He got a good look last year near the end of the season at the safety position. And I think many of the players you just mentioned, Jim, improve the Bears on special teams, which has been an area of weakness over the last couple of seasons. And it is clear that the Bears, they also signed Omar Bolden, who was a standout special teamer when healthy for the Denver Broncos. He's also a safety that the Bears brought in. That is clearly a point of emphasis this offseason.
Well, I mean, look at how many years in a row the Bears have drafted that position. It was long before Ryan Pace got here. I mean, to me, I think we're going on a decade now that they've tried to throw it at the position. I know minimum eight drafts. I mean, Mike Brown is the last legitimate safety, in my opinion, the Bears had on their roster. And in Vic Fangio's defense, that's a necessity. It's huge, and what that position brings to the table. I mentioned all those safeties have been Pro Bowlers when Vic Fangio coached them out there in San Francisco, and it's a big part of their defense, and they are throwing bodies at that position to finally get it right.
Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us as well at 312-644-6767 on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Now let's break down the draft. Let's start with the first round pick. Bears traded up to get him, the Georgia pass rusher, Leonard Floyd. Now, from a number standpoint, Tom, you look at this guy and everyone acknowledges that he has to get a little bit stronger. He's tall, he's long, he has speed that you can't teach, but he's also a guy coming off just 4.5 sacks his last season at Georgia. So why was this guy so highly thought of?
Well, you know, first of all, you pass the eye test. You look, do you have the size and the structure in order to come in and compete on an NFL level, given the fact that you're going to invest some time in the weight room and you are going to become bigger, faster, and stronger? And then you look at your accomplishments from your position. Do you have versatility? Are you able to play inside the box as well as on the outside edge? Can you bring pressure when you're set up with the perfect matchup in the right passing scenario? And then most importantly, if you have pass coverage responsibilities, can you fulfill those? Because I think more creativity is given to Vic Fangio if you have versatility by your defensive players, so you don't become one-dimensional. And I do think one thing about listening to Ryan Pace talk about Leonard Floyd after the draft was his ability to work the edge with speed and use his length as a good pass rusher. But he also has the hip movement and the creative type of feet you need in order to be in the pass coverage responsibilities, because they are so difficult at the NFL level. So that's what I like about Leonard Floyd, is that he is, you know, he does have the ability to play up and down the line of scrimmage. And even talking to Leonard Floyd the night of the draft, he said at Georgia he has sunk inside and had some pass rushes over an offensive guard. Again, the versatility is the key development here that you need out of Leonard Floyd.
Jim, you talked to a lot of people before the draft. What were their impressions of Leonard Floyd from watching the tape?
Well, definitely the trade is speed. I mean, he can come off the edge, but he needed a little motivation down there at Georgia. We've discussed this before, that a couple times he was sent to the bench down there to get his head right and to motivate him once he got back on the field. And I think Ryan Pace has already talked about it. He does have to get in the weight room to get stronger. I think a bull rush really is not in Leonard Floyd's repertoire right now, but minimum in third down packages in the Bears sub-package, you'd like to think that Leonard Floyd is going to be floated out there day one to utilize that speed that he brings to the table. Plus, he's got tremendous bend in terms of shoulder and bend, where you can turn the corner and get to the quarterback. I also think it says this, that maybe on third downs, Vic Fangio could be doing more stunts in games. What I mean by that is like a TE stunt or something like that to really take advantage of Leonard Floyd's speed. And now you'd like to think for third downs, minimum, you could kick Houston down, Hicks, have Floyd out there, and Pernell McPhee as a pretty formidable pass rush on third downs. Get the lighter, leaner guys in there. And I didn't even throw in Jonathan Bullard. That's a quick twitch guy out of Florida now. That guy could provide some pass rush on third down as well. So they may have a better third down package in order to get to the quarterback.
Tom, I think when you watch tape from the angle of an offensive lineman. Bullard comes in. Bears say they're going to use him as a defensive end in their scheme. What stands out about the things he does that will be difficult for offensive linemen to block?
You know, one thing Eddie Goldman demonstrated last year, he had a great innate ability to be disciplined at the line of scrimmage on the snap count. So he wasn't a herky-jerky player where he was retreating his balance when they were actually snapping the ball and then he's getting pushed off the line of scrimmage. That's what I like about the Florida guy, is because he's got very good involvement in the line of scrimmage. Whether the offense is coming out and changing formations, whether the snap count is trying to be a snap count that's trying to get you to jump and off balance, and then his ability to read what's happening during the offensive play and redirect his momentum or his motion towards the play. And that, you know, there's a lot said in that statement, because by the time an offense breaks a huddle, a defensive end is probably going to read maybe five or six things before the ball is ever snapped. That's the balance of the offensive lineman in front of them. That's the strength of the formation in terms of where the tight end is. You got to look at where they are on the field according to the down and distance, and then you have to kind of be in tune with the cadence of the quarterback to see how he's trying to manipulate the defense out of position, or how he's trying to read the defenses. You know, Zach, there's so much, the mental part of the game is as difficult as the physical part of the game, because you can't only be one or the other. You have to have traits of both, and I think that's one of the qualities that Bullard had, is his ability to understand what an offense is trying to do to him during the cadence and immediately following the snap of the ball.
We've got a lot more to break down throughout the hour. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We hope to be joined by some of the Bears draft picks throughout the hour as well. So much to discuss with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. This week on Inside the Bears, go behind the scenes during Leonard Floyd's draft night. Spice Adams is on the loose at Draft Town, and Charles Leno looks ahead to the 2016 season. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Alongside Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Let's go out to the phones, guys. We'll start with Eric in Phoenix. Eric, you are on Bears All Access.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Eric.
Quick question about Leonard Floyd. I was wondering what your thoughts are, or maybe how the organization made a decision. He's 24 years old, and if he plays well going into potentially his second contract, he could be 28, 29 years old. What are your thoughts around that?
You know, to me, Eric, it's not a big deal, because I really do believe that the NFL, and I wanted to touch on this a couple weeks ago, that the NFL is a new league where you're not looking for players to play till they're 35 or 36 years old, because that's really unusual, even to their mid-30s. But if you can get production out of this guy from 24 to his 30s, that's a lot of good, hard football. So I don't care about the age of Leonard Floyd. It's just a matter of what he does from this point that is really going to, you know, allow his career to pan out how all Bears fans hope that it will happen.
Yeah, to me, it's such a now league. You know, you look back, you know, teams are deciding right now whether to place the fifth-year options on their draft picks from 4 years ago, right? If you were to go back to the first round, it's 50-50. 17 guys have been slapped with the fifth-year option. There's another 12 that haven't been. And why? To me, it's just life happens, you know. There's coaching changes. You know, there's no guarantee 4 to 5 years from now the Bears will be running the same defensive system. You know, John Fox understands that they have to win now, and they're building the team for now in Chicago. So if that happens and everything's good and the Bears are winning a lot of games, yeah, probably Leonard Floyd will see a second contract for the Bears. But to assume 5 years from now that John Fox is here, Ryan Pace is here, everybody in that front office is still with the Chicago Bears, I don't think anybody can guarantee that. There is so much turnover at the coaching position in the NFL. And then when a new coach comes in, new system, now a player's possibly miscast. And, you know, so I just think that's hard to predict. You are drafting for now, and Vic Fangio and John Fox are drafting Leonard Floyd for his trait in Vic Fangio's defense and how they want to utilize him. Now, if they succeed, that's going to be tremendous, and then we all know Leonard Floyd will be getting a second contract by then.
And I think the 24 years old thing does matter from this standpoint, guys. You're talking about a player who needs to put a lot of work in beginning right now in terms of the dedication to the weight room and what he eats to put himself as physically right as he can be to take advantage of his set of skills when the season starts.
But he's going to have the best opportunity since he's, you know, through his whole college time. You're going to come to a facility that they have a state-of-the-art fit, a weight room. They have state-of-the-art trainers and tell you how to eat properly. Their diet is going to be better than it ever has before. So you can expect big growth in a player that dedicates himself to eat properly and stay in the weight room and stay on the, you know, the classroom portion of it, where you could see an entirely different player in 8 months to a year just on his dedication to the organ, to the facility.
Well, let's find out from Leonard Floyd himself what he needs to do to put himself in the best possible shape to have the best success right away in the NFL. And the Bears' first-round pick, Leonard Floyd, joins us right now here on Bears All Access. Leonard, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. First off, congratulations on getting picked in the first round. What's changed in regards to how you take care of yourself from the moment you went inside the Bears practice facility till now?
Basically, I have to learn how to become a pro. I have to treat myself like a pro every day. I have to work out, wake up, eat right, drink the right stuff, and things of that nature.
You know, Leonard, what type of weight room did you have emphasis in college? Was it a heavy weight room or was it more machines? And when you got a snippet look at the Chicago Bears weight room, did they tell you anything that they expected out of you initially, or is it just an evaluation process and then they'll start trying to help you out as your time comes along with the Bears?
When I went to the Bears, it was an evaluation process. We didn't really sit down and talk down all the goals that I need to reach yet. So I think I'm going to talk about that when I get up there next week. And at Georgia, yeah, we had more machines. We did a lot of machine work rather than using the bench.
Using the free weights, just a more of a machine atmosphere in college.
Yes,
well, Leonard, Jim Miller here. Congratulations. You're with a great organization. I know they love having you and glad that you're their property now because they love your speed. But just take us through the whole process of the draft. You know, you have obviously so much going on, and you're training and interviewing with all these teams. And then finally to see or get that phone call and then see your name scroll across the screen as it's announced by the NFL commissioner. I mean, it's got to be pretty great day in your life. Break it down for us.
It was just a dream came true that day. I worked hard a long time to get to this level. And just seeing my name being called and going across the screen was just amazing. I loved it. My family loved it. It was just a dream come true. I felt so happy, and I feel proud to play for the Bears organization.
Visiting with Bears first-round pick Leonard Floyd here on Bears All Access, the thing that I kept hearing throughout the week at Halas Hall after the Bears picked you, you have the kind of pass-rushing moves that you can't teach. So give us an idea. I'm going to have you play the role of radio play-by-play announcer. Can you give us a description of your best pass moves, the stuff that really stood out that made the Bears trade up to get you?
I would definitely say me just getting off the ball with good burst, getting up the field, setting the tackle up, and using my counter move inside a lot. Because tackle started oversetting me. That's basically what I aim for, running the hoop. And once they realize I'm doing that, I go to my counter move inside.
Do you have a name for it?
Not yet.
Not yet, but I'm going to come up with one.
You know what, Leonard, I think the better you rush the passer, the more you maybe have to, go out and have into some pass coverages. If the offenses can get you in the right position, does covering your pass coverage responsibilities in college, is that something that came easy to you, as easy as setting up an offensive tackle with a pass rush move, or do you feel like it's something that you have to invest some time in to get an understanding of the NFL passing game and some of the responsibilities of the linebacker position at this level?
Yeah, it definitely took time to learn, like, the concepts for each different drop. Because sometimes you have to stay on this low hip. Sometimes you just got to drop to an area. So it took some time and some practice to figure out all the different zones I was supposed to get to. But once I learned it, I felt pretty comfortable.
How about for you, Leonard? How do you manage expectation? As you know, Chicago, it's a defensive town now. They love tough defenses in Chicago. And just to manage the expectations of what you expect for yourself and certainly what fans are going to want from you, which is a very productive career as a Chicago Bear.
It's definitely going to come through hard work and just getting coached up and getting around my teammates and just learning from them as much as I can.
Have they given you an eating schedule? Basically, are they telling you exactly what you need to eat?
Lou Malnati's. That's what he needs, right? Right, Leonard? You like the Lou Malnati's.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
He won't be playing football for long if all he's eating is pizza. So the healthy stuff, have they kind of given you, right from the get-go, an itinerary of what you need to do to put your body in the best possible position?
I didn't get a chance to see the nutritionist the second time I went up. But the first time I went up there, she told me as soon as I get in, we was going to lay out a map, a plan of things that I should eat and things I shouldn't eat. And she was going to help me with it as soon as I came up there.
You know, Leonard, last year in John Fox's first year, Pernell McPhee came in and he added a big spark to the locker room and he added a big spark to the defense. Number one, have you had a chance to meet or talk to Pernell McPhee yet? And, you know, that's what the Bears fans are kind of attached to. They want to see you bring in the same spark that a guy like Pernell McPhee did. The question being, have you had a chance to talk to Pernell at all yet?
No, sir, I haven't had the chance to talk to him, but I'm looking forward to meeting him. And I'm looking forward to actually just being his teammate. And I'm going to try to bring the energy as he do.
Well, last question for me, Leonard. Has keeping weight on always been a problem for you? Are you just one of those high metabolism guys at the end of the day?
Yeah, I'm a high metabolism guy. I lose weight while I'm sleeping. Sometimes I'll be heavy before I go to sleep and wake up light. I don't know why it's like that.
He must have vivid dreams of rushing the passer. That's probably why you got to that point. Leonard, before we say goodbye, you were number 84 in college, which is not a number you're going to be able to wear in the NFL. Have the Bears given you a number yet?
I've talked to the equipment dude today, and we're going to figure it out. We're trying to figure out which number I'm going to get. I got a decision to make on a couple of numbers.
What stands out in your mind?
57.
I don't know. They all stand out to me. They all got they own look to them. So I haven't decided yet. But I plan on deciding when he calls me again, we'll decide which one I'm gonna get.
Oh, you better get to know Tony Medlin. That's the equipment manager. Him and Carl Pekarski. They need to be your best buddies, bro. I mean that's how you get the number that you want.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Good stuff. Leonard, we'll see you next weekend at Rookie Minicamp up at Hallis Hall. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Leonard Floyd, the Bears' first-round pick, spending a few moments with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's take a timeout. We'll recap what we just heard. The Bears also have a new quarterback in the building. We'll find out a little bit more about him from Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is with us. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, and we continue talking about the Bears rookie class, joined now by the fourth-round pick, the linebacker out of West Virginia, Nick Kwiatkowski. Nick, when you think about the history of the Bears and the position that you play, how do you not get excited about the position that you find yourself in?
Well, that was one of the things that I really came to mind when I saw the Bears pick me. It's a long line of just great linebackers year in and year out. So, I mean, just to be a part of that, I mean, it's something great.
Hey, Nick, if you're going to choose an interior linebacker position that you're most familiar with because versatility is one of your strengths, what inside position would you say, hey, I would like to line up at first, but I'm willing to go anywhere else?
Honestly, I'm open to anything right now. Kind of moving to a new scheme. I'm excited to kind of learn everything.
Well, Nick, Jim Miller here. Congratulations. You're with a great organization. And if my memory serves me correctly, at West Virginia, you played all three linebacker spots, Sam, Mike, and Will. And now you mentioned moving to a 3-4. I mean, you know, your thoughts. Do you think it could be weak inside backer? Because you led West Virginia in tackles the past 3 years. You are absolutely all over the field in terms of making plays.
Yeah, I mean, that could be something we look at. I really haven't got a chance to really talk about my role or where they're going to start or anything like that. So, I mean, like I said, I'm open to anything. I'm just excited to be in that position.
And he comes from the Pittsburgh area, so you know he's got the genes that you need to excel on the football field. You started out as a defensive back, as a safety, and then at West Virginia they switched you to linebacker. How did that go? Were you initially reluctant to do that? And what convinced you that that could be a position where you could ascend?
At first, I really didn't have a choice. We got a new defensive coordinator, a new defensive scheme, and he just kind of came in and said, hey, we want you to play linebacker. At first, I was like, I was reluctant. I didn't really know how it would go. I never played linebacker in my life. So I went through the first spring ball at linebacker, and, I mean, it was tough. Just kind of playing close to the line, scrimmage, kind of having to react faster. Going to the following season, my first season at linebacker, it was still kind of all new to me. But after that first season, I feel like I got it down. I spent a lot of time in the film room just kind of seeing different techniques, how linebackers in the past did things. So after that first probably spring ball in that first year, I mean, the transition was smooth. But definitely at first, it was a little rough.
You know, Nick, one of the more difficult transitions from college football guys that were stars of their football team is how can they come in here and contribute immediately on or to a couple of the special teams? Number one, throughout your college career, did you play on any special teams? And number two, if you did, where could you see yourself contributing on an NFL level, or are you ready to go for all of them?
Well, my first 2 years of college football, I played kickoff, kickoff return, punt, and, I mean, it was something I love to do. So, I mean, I'm like you said, I'm trying to come in and contribute any way possible. So, I'm open to anything, all four, one, two, three, anything. I really enjoyed playing everything I played in college, kickoff, kickoff return, and punt. So, I mean, I'm excited to get an opportunity at all of them.
Well, Nick, it's interesting because we just talked to your teammate, Leonard Floyd, and he wants to put on weight. And I got to believe when you made that move from safety to linebacker, you probably had to live in that weight room in order for you to gain some weight to get up to your current 243. How much did you weigh when you played safety, and then how long did it take you to beef up to the 243 that you currently weigh?
Well, I came in to college, I was about 205. After that, for my redshirt season, I kind of bumped up about 212, 215. And once they told me I was playing linebacker, I mean, it was just eating, staying in the weight room, nutrition. I met with a nutritionist. I mean, there were times where I struggled putting on weight.
Visiting with Bears fourth-round pick Nick Kwiatkowski, the linebacker out of West Virginia. You mentioned when you were making the transition that you were studying different linebackers. Who did you kind of pattern your game after based on what you're able to do out there on the field?
Well, at the time, I mean, it was mostly just West Virginia linebackers. Just kind of looking back in old film, just previous years, guys like Najee Good was there prior to me, JT Thomas. So those guys are two guys I really watch kind of technique-wise and different things.
Nick, did the teams throughout the NFL draft process, were 4-3 teams picking your brain as well as 3-4 teams to make sure that you understood enough about football to be able to make the academic transition from one defense to the next? And if so, were the defensive coordinators or defensive personnel and scouts picking your brain about where you were at mentally, defensively speaking?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I really saw at the Senior Bowl and the Combine more, just kind of drawing up defenses to certain offensive schemes. A lot to just kind of get an understanding of how well I knew my defense at West Virginia.
What did the Bears want to know from you when you had your meeting with them? Did they put you in front of the grease board?
They didn't. It was kind of one-on-one, just kind of on paper, just looking at different schemes, looking at my – game of West Virginia and just kind of drawing not only the linebackers though, but the fronts, the safeties, what they did, just kind of getting a gauge on like my overall defensive knowledge.
Well, your former teammate is now a current teammate in Kevin White. It's always good to have a familiar face on the roster. But did you talk to Kevin White? Obviously, he can take you around and really give you the ropes about the Chicago Bears and take you around the city a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. He reached out to me. I mean, right after it was announced I was a Bear, he was excited to have me. I'm excited to be back with him.
You lived with his brother, right?
Yeah, I do.
So what's that like? And we're jealous of you because you've actually had an opportunity to see what Kevin White can do on the field. You know, we had to wait because he wasn't able to play last season. So give us the scouting report now from a defensive standpoint. What does Kevin White bring to the field?
I mean, he brings a lot to receiver position. Definitely someone you think kind of base a game plan around. I mean, he's a deep threat. I mean, he can catch the ball, get upfield with it. Just an overall great athlete, great big receiver with speed. I mean, he's kind of one of those guys who kind of brings it all to the table and can hurt you many different ways.
Hey, Nick, is there any specific defensive player that you follow that maybe we can get a snippet of what your intentions, who you would like to play with, whether, you know, a guy like Luke Kuechly in a different type of defense, but any other guys that you followed throughout the time that you grew up through college that you admired in the NFL level?
I mean, like Luke Kuechly, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's someone who I've watched since he got into the NFL and also in his college career. I mean, he's a great linebacker, brings so many different things to the linebacker position. That's someone who I've studied throughout my college career.
Well, how did you spend draft day? Was it just friends, family, and then finally when you received the call from Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears, just, you know, to realize that all your dreams have probably come true?
I mean, I spent it with my family just at my house in Pittsburgh, just close friends, family. I mean, nothing too big. But once I received that call, I mean, it was just, at first it was a sign of relief. I got the call, and it was just kind of like all their hard work's paid off. I mean, it's been a waiting game. I mean, the last couple months since my college season has ended, I mean, it's been nothing but like hard work and just kind of that anticipation of finally finding out where you're going has been, I mean, that's been building up for weeks now.
Nick, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Nick.
Nick Kwiatkowski, the Bears' fourth-round pick, the linebacker out of West Virginia. Let's take another timeout. When we come back, we'll recap what you guys feel you just heard from Leonard Floyd and Nick Kwiatkowski, and we'll look ahead and talk about the new quarterback on the Bears roster. That's next. Bears All Access rolls on 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We've got 85 Bear Tom Thayer with us, also former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We just heard from Leonard Floyd as well as the fourth-round pick, the linebacker out of West Virginia, Nick Kwiatkowski. I think, Jim, the thing that stands out to me just listening to both those guys is that you get them in the classroom with Vic Fangio, and if they listen, they are going to reach their potential.
No, I agree. I think, you know, again, for Leonard Floyd, his trait is speed. So I think Ryan Pace, you know, 2 years in a row and just talking to other guys, like I was talking to Hub Arkish, who's covered the Bears for a while. I do. I think they swung for the fences on those first round picks the past couple years. You know, if they reach their potential, they can truly be great players because they've got elite ability. The other guys, when I look at the rest of the Bears draft, I just think they're tough guys. I think they're football players, and that's what John Fox wants at the end of the day. So they're good, solid guys that you can count on that I think are, you know, definitely going to be the pieces to the puzzle to continue to build this roster to where it needs to get it up to snuff with the rest of the National Football League.
You know, I think they're humble guys, and I think they respect the opportunity to get drafted. You saw Nick say what a relief it was when he finally got the call and get an understanding of where you're going to go, where you have to set your sight on, what is expected from you as a player, and what is expected out of your development. And Leonard Floyd, it's yes sir, no sir to everybody. I think he respects authority, and I think that's great for coachings because you need guys to come into the meeting rooms and sit there with a discipline to understand the complexity of their assignments and the requirements of their job. And you may it may be understated how important that is because you can't go out and have devastating pass rush moves or the responsibilities from an inside linebacker if you don't understand what your obligations obligation is. And I think that's one of the elements why Leonard Floyd has been able to flourish in college, is because he's got versatility and he understands his role, his assignments, and the opponent's offenses. And whenever you have a linebacker that has the versatility to play every linebacker position according to the defense played, you know he has a solid understanding, and that shows you the commitment from these guys, and that's what you want to see coming to your football team, guys that are hungry to learn, and then they have respect for authority who's going to be teaching them in the classroom and on the field.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. We head to Lockport. David, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, David.
Hey, I didn't watch too much of the draft. I did follow a lot of picks that were made, and I was, you know, kind of surprised that they didn't draft a quarterback. Now, I mean, does that more go to say, like, how, you know, weak the pool of quarterbacks are, you know, in these drafts the last few years are, or is that just, like, solidifying their commitment to Cutler?
Jim, why don't you address that?
Yeah, well, I think this draft was a little bit stronger at quarterback than what everybody imagined. 15 quarterbacks get selected, some went a lot earlier than what anybody anticipated. And I, as you remember, Zach, last week I mentioned how I like that Jacoby Brissett out of North Carolina State. He went as high as the third round.
Yeah, New England
wasn't
wasted.
Patriots. Yeah. And so, you know, again, it comes down to, is a player falling, or can you move up or down to get that particular player? Quarterback may have been on the Bears' need list, or maybe a wish list that they would have drafted, but maybe their guy was already taken who they tried to select. Because I honestly think the more and more you look at it, Cleveland may have lost out. I think they were hoping that Jacoby Brissett, who was taken three picks earlier, and then they end up taking Cody Kessler out of USC. And, man, that one's perplexing to me, because you pass up two franchise guys and then you draft a West Coast kid who doesn't have the strongest arm to play in the AFC North, where the wind can be blowing in Cleveland. That, to me, that's a hard sell right there. But for the Bears, I do think they got a guy in free agency that Dow Logans knows very well. Brian Hoyer was in Cleveland with Dow Logans. He's a very accountable quarterback. I called a lot of games at Michigan State when he played there. And just to tell you how much coaches trust him, how about Bill Belichick when they selected Brian Hoyer? He was an undrafted free agent and basically backed up Tom Brady day one his rookie season. A lot of teams wanted to sign him, and the Bears are fortunate to grab that player in free agency.
You know, one thing too, Jim, about the quarterback position, that if the Bears have success this season, and then if they did have a hiccup with the quarterback position, they wouldn't lose momentum, because I think the veterans will get an understanding of what Hoyer has committed to the Chicago Bears and what he's committed to his own career. And if you did draft a guy that was inexperienced or had some question marks about him, he really wouldn't be someone that's going to come into the game at any point
right
during the season, and the team have the same confidence and the same offensive ability that they do with Brian Hoyer. So I talked earlier in the show, it's got to be the team's pursuit of making sure they get better at every position to try to win the division and then try to go compete for a Super Bowl. And I think Brian Hoyer gives a lot of stability to the quarterback room and the quarterback position, and a lot of confidence that he could come in and sustain what the Bears are already doing.
As soon as the Bears took Jordan Howard, the running back out of Indiana, Tom texted me immediately, Jim, and said, good pick. It's because he brings something to the table that the Bears don't have. They've tried to get this type of guy in the past through free agency, Tom, whether it was Chester Taylor or Marion Barber or Michael Bush. They haven't been able to get that guy who can guarantee you the short yards when you need them.
Right, but when did they get those guys? They got those guys later in their career, where they either had sustained an injury or just, you know, had run their course at the other teams they look at. And you look at Jordan Howard, he's almost 6 feet tall at 230 pounds. And he's got a nice burst, and he's got a good innate ability to read and understand how the play is going to unfold in front of him. And that's one of the key ingredients to successful backs, is they have the understanding of the offensive line and how a play is going to be blocked and best determine where the hole is going to be. So when they went out and got that Jordan Howard pick, I like it because they constantly talk about running back by committee. Well, that committee got one guy bigger when they brought him in, and I think he's not only a good motivating factor to push a young guy like Jeremy Langford, but he's also going to be an interesting guy to come in here and compete from day one of OTAs, rookie camps, training camps, to really fight for playing time, because the Bears have already proved they'll play a rookie when they started playing Jeremy Langford last year. So that's a little bit of that hidden motivation if you want to get your carries as a rookie.
He's definitely a north-south runner that can close out a game. More of a traditional back. Doesn't provide too much from a receiving standpoint. I think he only had 11 receptions in Kevin Wilson's offense, spread offense there at Indiana. But he's definitely a north-south runner, and he's a banger. Much like, say, C.J. Anderson, the Bears tried to take a stab at C.J. Anderson this offseason. Ultimately, he returns to Denver after they increased the offer that Miami put out there on the table. But Jordan Howard, this guy's a banger now. He can get you yards and has a great story, because UAB shut down their football program. Then he transfers to Indiana, and right away he was getting big yardage, and he can definitely close out a game.
You know, it's too, is how you see how evaluation kind of feeds off of everybody, because they go and evaluate the Spriggs, the offensive lineman, that's his name, from Indiana.
Yep.
And then you get to see glimpses of Howard and vice versa. When you're scouting one player, that's when another player can come alive at times, and you like what you see out of this running back at Indiana as a program, when maybe you don't have the supporting cast that you do at Ohio State or Michigan or somewhere else, but you still have the productivity nevertheless.
312-644-6767, the number here on Bears All Access. Don is on the south side. Don, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, this is John. I was calling because of two positions. I love the pick of Braverman. That was a really nice slot receiver to take over for Eddie Royal. But I really didn't see them address the tight end position, unless they think that the pass-catching tight end that they needed was that guy from Harvard. I really think that each team, the way it's moving now, each team has two pass-catching tight ends, and the Bears only have one. What can you tell me about him?
I mean, I like Braverman. I like the fact that he catches the football. And whenever you see an undersized guy that has comparisons to Wes Welker or the other type of slot receivers, and he's still healthy at this stage of his career, he knows how to play football. He knows how to catch the football. He knows how to be an asset in his offense. And then he knows how to protect himself, because you're not going to do it by bullying people over in the secondary. So I like what they have there. And then the second part of the question I wanted to address, what did John say?
Ben Broniker is the Harvard tight end that
yes,
they signed.
Yes, that's what it. I really liked him, Jim. I like him. I like his productivity, his size. And here's a guy that I think he's a molecular and cellular biology major, so you know the assignments aren't going to be too difficult. You can give him a full plate and some special team contributions, and you may catch a diamond in the rough there.
What would Tom know about molecular biology?
I mean, he's smart and tough. I mean, if you ask Broniker what time it is, he'll build a watch. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. But he did have the second-best vertical jump at the combine, 35.5. He's an underrated athlete when you look at Ben.
Yeah, and those numbers mean something to Ryan Pace. Over the last 2 years, when you take a look at the combine numbers that the specific players they've drafted have put up, they do matter. And I want to get to something on the offensive line, Tom, because I think it's important for people to understand exactly what the Bears demand out of their offensive linemen. Because when Slauson was cut, a lot of people were wondering, well, this guy was effective last year. And I don't think people realize that no matter who's carrying the ball for the Bears from an offensive standpoint, whether it's a handoff or down the field, if they hit the tight end in stride or a wide receiver in stride, they want their lineman 20 yards down the field in front of that ball carrier blocking. You need to have the athleticism and speed to do that.
You are right, and I think that's one of the points that was preached heavily last year about when you see one of the running backs break a run that is a 4 or 8 yard run, run down the field and give them a help. Chip off a tackler that's maybe going to put some added abuse. Get in front of the running back or even a receiver on some of the outside screens that they can get blockers in front of them and start avoiding tacklers to make bigger plays. And that is a key element here. And, you know, one of the things that kind of caught us by surprise last year in training camp, Zach, because it was all new to us, is that Coach Dave Magazoo had these offensive linemen playing every different position up and down the line. And then you kind of think that, okay, I understand why you're giving Charles Leno Jr. snaps at center, and I understand why Kyle's moving around the line of scrimmage and Jordan Mills and the rest of the guys that were there at the time. And I think that was one of the things that helped Coach Magazoo during the season when there were injuries that occurred. He wasn't in, you know, some state of panic because it's happened. He just calmly moves one guy over, brings in the substitute, and the offensive line just kept on rolling. So I do think the versatility of offensive linemen is, you know, one of the key ingredients of making sure that you're a multiple position contributor.
We've got a lot more callers here to talk to you guys. Naperville, Bill, you're on Bears All Access.
Thank you. Yeah, I was watching some highlight reels of that undrafted free agent the Bears got. I think it was from UTEP. He has a hyphenated last name. He's like 6'7". And he looked very impressive in many ways. I realized it was a highlight film, but it's a very long highlight film. You think he might make it with the Bears?
Well, you can't teach size. That's the one key ingredient there. And when you talk about 6'7", you talk about athleticism, you talk about presenting yourself as a, you know, a good blocker, a target, or, we know, added versatility. Yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity for players to come in here at the positions like tight end and earn a position on this football team. And just like all the rest of the guys, it's going to be about hard work. But there is an opening here with Martellus Bennett being gone and trying to look for that guy that's going to be a complimentary tight end at the line of scrimmage that's going to develop into almost your sixth offensive lineman type blocker. Like I said, you can't teach that kind of size.
And Roy Robertson-Harris is the name of the guy that he's talking about.
Yeah, and I just think from a player standpoint, you can't get caught up in the numbers. You know, the opportunities there, as Tom just mentioned, and when you go to camp, it's happened. Guys get hurt. Guys go down with injuries, and all you can do is focus on what you can do, and sometimes that's all you need is that opportunity, because anything can happen through training camp and through the preseason. So don't get caught up in the numbers game. Just do what you can do. It's not just about the Chicago Bears. You're presenting yourself to 31 other teams in the National Football League, but certainly you want to have the opportunity with the team that shot on you, whether it's as a draft pick or as an undrafted free agent, and do the best you can to make the roster.
Our final caller of the hour, Wayne from Pontiac. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Wayne.
I'm curious to know if you can explain how the Bears, they wanted Leonard Floyd, how that whole moving up worked. Do they contact Tampa Bay, and then we know that the Giants were going to pick him at 10, we moved up to 9. Do we tell them that we would take him or Vernon Hargraves, which is what Tampa Bay wanted? I'm just curious to know how that all works, because I'm not unsure. And go Bears. Thanks.
You got it. Well, probably heading into the draft, yeah, you do contact teams and give some feelers for if their spot is for sale. I don't think you want to get in the business of disclosing who you're going up to take, but clearly if you reach a compensation agreement that certainly was agreeable with Tampa Bay and Jason Light, then the Bears leapfrog. I think it was well documented that the Giants probably would have selected Leonard Floyd. Now they're Jerry Reese, the GM of the Giants, getting accused of reaching for Eli Apple because the Bears beat him to the punch. They jumped ahead of him and selected Leonard Floyd. They got their guy, and Tampa still got their guy in Vernon Hargraves, because I think everybody had Vernon Hargraves, the defensive back, mocked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think Tampa felt confident that they were going to get their guy and that the Bears weren't moving up to get Hargraves.
Guys, the hour has come to an end. We have to give away the gift certificate to Sports Authority. I'm going to go with David from Lockport talking about the quarterback situation, because I think it's an important thing going into the future. And you heard Jim last week talk highly of all these quarterbacks, and yet the Bears still end up with a guy as talented as Brian Hoyer to be the backup for this upcoming season. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.